Welcome back to Real Good. I am Sarah Luke, and I am here with my wonderful friend, Steph. Steph, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Steph Schober.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, other than being a friend of yours, which is honestly one of my best qualities, I am also an actor, comedian, content maker. Filmmaker, creative person in Bushwick.
Yes, and that's how we met. We met through our friend Shannon, and you guys are wonderful, and you keep putting me in your films and putting me on stage for stand-up. Yes, I talked about this on the other one, how Shannon, I thanked her for, like, always, like, helping, thinking of me while she creates and then making opportunities, so I want to thank you for that, too.
Oh, my gosh, thank you. Also, thank you so very much for, lending your craft.
And you helped achieve that dream of being a stand-up comedian. A dream I always knew I could do, but I was, like, really petrified to do it. And so every time that you've helped me do that, that's been really amazing. I was actually, so I listened to the Office podcast. Do you listen to the Office Ladies podcast?
Do I? Oh my, yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm all called up.
It's amazing. So they interviewed Amy Ryan, and she was talking about how when she would go home, her face would hurt from laughing so much, and like her stomach would hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she said that, it made me think about making movies with y'all, because we laugh so much when we, like, when I make stuff with you, Shannon, and Nick, I just, like, it's so, besides being, like, you know, fun and rewarding, like, it's just so funny. We laugh so much, and it's just, it is so therapeutic.
Yeah, we definitely try to, how you say, enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
As well as the destination, but mostly the journey, and it's all, like, you know, no budget,
exactly.
Run and gun.
Yeah.
Like, things are so super stressful, and mm-hmm. you have no money, so, like, at the end of the day, you kind of just have to laugh at anything that goes awry, otherwise, like, what are you in it for?
And I was just gonna say, like, you guys have such an unpretentious environment. Like, you create just a really safe, comfortable, fun environment and community. Like, you guys have definitely created a community with what you do, so, thank you for that. Shout out to you for that.
Thank you.
Y'all, today we are discussing teen movies. And I've always been passionate about them. And while I was thinking of this topic, I was like, oh God, Steph. Because, like, I knew I was going to do something with you. And so I was trying to think of, like, which one. And that one just was, like, perfect. Because, like, I love talking about, like, cult films with you and pop culture and just, like, like, you're also my Halloween queen, and so I knew this would be a fun one. We're talking about teen movies today, and first I thought I would, like, get a little into, like, the history and some early teen movies, and I feel like when we think about teen films, like, when I first start, I think just back to the 80s. I'm like, that's the beginning, but, like, it's not. It's, like, actually, these are what they consider some of the first teen movies. Like, Rebel Without a Cause and Blackboard Jungle both came out in 1955. And Rock Around the Clock came out in 56. And those are considered, like, the first teen movies. And obviously, like, they've changed to much, like, lighter tone and shit since then, but...
Oh, definitely. That's the one thing I, like, noticed from that list.
Yeah.
And very drama-heavy.
Yeah. And Blackboard Jungle was crazy, too, because it had teens of color. Like, it had black teens and Hispanic teens, and so that was, like... That movie's amazing. And so was Rebel Without a Cause, actually. But, you know, in the 60s, things get a little lighter. Gidget came out in 1959, and so, like, those beach party films... That's all, like, the teen, that's, like, teen film genre, and I, I like know about these films and I used to watch these movies, but I didn't ever like place that together. So it was just like really fun researching this and looking at that. And then we get to the 80s with the Brat Pack and the Breakfast Club. And I feel like most people in our age and stuff and the generation before us, that's what we really think of as like the start of teen films. Because I think that the teen films, well, first, I don't really know if it's still a genre in the same way it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like from like the early 2000s into now, because I can't think of movies like that now.
Yeah, like when I first hear teen movies, my immediate first memory is like comedy, romance.
Yes.
90s, early 2000s, but that's also like goes with like, you know, that's just our generation growing up.
Yeah.
But it is funny, like you just going in retrospect really briefly and I'm like, oh man, there was some evolution there from heavy method acting
and
drama to like dramedy to
and
like
I
fart
actually,
jokes.
I made it. When I was looking up these movies, I was reading about stuff and the really cool thing about teen films is how it does bend genres seamlessly. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, Shakespeare can be translated into anything. In fact, there's a lot of teen films like developed from Shakespeare, but you know, cause you have musicals, you have horror, like there's a ton of horror teen films, romance, satire. So it just, it's like a very wide range of things. So, this is what Wikipedia defines teen film as. Teen film is a film genre targeted at teenagers and young adults by the plot being based on their special interests, such as coming of age, attempting to fit in, bullying, peer pressure, first love, teen rebellion, conflict with parents, and teen angst or alienation. So, like, given how wide the range of teen films are, it's really funny how my favorites are all in, like, within, like, 3 years of each other. I don't know about yours, but mine are all, like, right by each other. And then I have one that's, like, randomly out there. So one more thing, because, like, I just think the, I don't know, it's, like, we kind of write teen films off as, like, silly and shit, but it's really cool looking up and finding all the, like, tropes and all that. So, like, I look, there's, like, codes and conventions. So these are some of the classic, like, codes and conventions of the teen film genre you'll see. So basically, like, these are, like, the character models you'll see in there. So there's, like, the jock, the cheerleader, the school diva, the it girl, the geeks, the nerds, the rebel, the misfit and outcast, the boy, girl next door, the new girl, boy, the loner, the band geek, the class hottie, the class clown, the stoner, my personal favorite, the athlete, the queen bee, the foreign exchange student, yeah, it's like, I mean, so we're going to get into
that
our,
breaks it down.
Yeah.
That breaks it down.
Let me, this is a little, like, disclaimer. Like, I'm very well aware that, like, all of my movies I picked are, like, white movies. Like, teen film, like, it's, like, the one area where I'm, like, okay, like, I just give it up. There's not a lot of diversity in this, and that's fine. Like, I'm just going with it. So I wanted to, I usually make a point to have, like, a lot of diversity in my lists, but there is not a lot of diversity in this list. Let's get that out of the way. but we're going to start with Steph's list. Do you want to give us your top five?
I'd love to. So a little preface before I list my top five favorite teen films. I basically decided to narrow it down by which movies I actually physically owned growing up, either on DVD or VHS, because I'm either that old or I'm that thrifty. That's going to be a mystery. Either way.
Oh, I have one question.
Sure.
Are yours ranked? Mine are not. I just have like five, but they're not ranked. Are yours?
I did rank mine, but it's a loose ranking.
Okay, cool.
It's like, like, because I love them all equally.
Got you.
Like, they're my children. Yeah, so, anywho, I'll just, like, knock them down, and I'll list them in decreasing order.
Yeah, you can talk about them as you go to, however you want to do that.
Okay, cool, cool. All right, so, all right, so, number five on my top teen movies is, talk about a throwback, 1978, Grease.
Yes. Okay, Grease is in my honorable mention, but I really wanted it. It should be on my list.
Oh my goodness. Let me tell you a little bit about me and my VHS copy of Grease. I don't know who decided to buy it because, like, I was really young, but I guess my parents were like, it's a musical, so it's a family-friendly movie. But, so anyway, I remember watching it again and again and again and again and again, like, circa age 5 and 6, which is, like, in hindsight, kind of...
Sing about Pussy Wagon.
Yes! Yes! And I was like, oh, kitty cat.
Yeah, I was, like, 12 when I fell in love with Grease.
Yeah. And, so I was, like, obsessed with it for, like, my early elementary school years. And, like, my idea of being in high school was this really Hollywood-skewed version of, like, looking like you are 35 and smoking cigarettes and wearing leather.
Everybody is grown as fucking Grease.
Yeah, and everyone's, like, literally, like, they are acting like it's the end of the world when the end of senior year comes. It's, like, that heavy, it feels like. Yeah. so basically, that I watched again and again. I would also like to add how much I was into it and was for the second grade talent show. Mm-hmm. Me and a bunch of my classmates did a choreographed dance montage to all of the songs in Grease looped together.
I'm like a crazy Grease fan too.
So you get it.
Yes, I
do. None of this is foreign to you.
No.
Girl, I get it. Yeah.
that soundtrack. I wore that soundtrack out.
Oh, yeah.
But, it's right here on my list.
Right here. Well,
Also,
how do you feel about it?
Super into John Travolta. And he's just gorgeous in that movie. So mm-hmm. I feel like initially, like, that's what got me in as a kid.
Yeah.
But the music, it's just, Grease is fucking fantastic.
Grease is the word, have you heard?
And the making, there's like on the anniversary, like, DVD set, I don't know if you have that, they had the making of Grease, and it's just like a really interesting,
That was in the beginning of my VHS, but I always fast-forwarded through it, because I, like, didn't recognize the actors. Like, I was that young to not care. Like, I was like, I want to get to the dancing! You know?
I love Grease. Grease is...
Yeah, it's a party. It's a party,
it is.
Like, in a box. It's like, whenever you're down, throw that on.
Exactly.
I didn't look up too many facts about movies as we were, like, talking before. Yeah. However, one that does come to mind is that Grease, when it came out, it was, like, one of the top selling, like, movies in theaters.
Yeah,
Google it. No, but, like, it's testament, I guess, is what I'm saying. We're not the only ones. Like, people make fun of it a lot because it is ridiculously dated and hokey, but it is a party in a box.
It is. And then there's, like, the whole Grease versus Grease 2 debate and stuff.
Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started on Grease 2. I have a lot to unpack there for its, like, own, like, weird sequels.
Yeah.
that's for a weird ass sequel episode.
Ooh, yes.
Steph, write it down.
She just gave me a fucking podcast episode idea. Oh my god, it's great.
Yeah, that's definitely number one in the weird ass sequel. Cool episode, so keep your eyes and ears peeled for that one in the future, folks. but Grease is the word, have you heard? It's got ooze, it's got feeling. I remember I also, speaking to how it probably wasn't age appropriate for me at the time I was watching it so much, I would repeat some stuff from it. And I have this memory of getting in trouble from my mom because, like, it was, like, lunchtime or whatever. And my mom was like, oh, what do you want for lunch? And I was like, hey, a couple of weenies. Because they say that, like, Kanicki says that at one point. And this is, like, a 5-year-old, and, like, my mom's just, like,
Oh no!
Immediately, like, she shut it down, and I never said weenies ever again.
Until now.
This day.
Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
that's a great one. Okay. What's your next one?
Okay. So, yeah. Well, I guess I, these are facts. Facts yeah. about my weird ass life. So, number four on my list is another throwback, not as dated, Pretty in Pink, 1986.
Yes.
I got to binge this one right before I came over here this afternoon, so that was a lovely refresher.
Yeah. And yeah. So I, like, admittedly am not, like, I don't think I've even seen all of, like, that movie through. I love The Breakfast Club. Like, that's more my movie. I feel like I feel like it's one or the other for, like, which one is, like, your movie, and I'm a Breakfast Club girl.
Interesting. Well, not to step ahead, but my number three is The Breakfast Club.
Okay, we can kind of, like,
1985. It's a package deal because they also came out so closely together. Pretty in Pink, 1986. The Breakfast Club, 1985. I had both of these movies, ironically, on DVD, even though they're old. Yeah. You think it'd be like another VHS situation? No, there was like a Walmart special or something.
That $5 bin.
Yes, yes.
I used to live in that bin.
Oh, yes, you get it. Yeah, so I definitely, like, picked it up, I think, around middle school when I was trying to be a little bit more, like, hip.
Yeah.
As in, like, watching VH1 Classic.
Yeah. Yeah.
and acting what was super cool and trendy in the 80s is, like, cool today. We all did it.
We did all do it.
Yeah, we all did it. Yeah.
It's like when you're like, I'm into film. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, gonna learn all, like.
Yeah.
I know all about the classics.
All about the classics.
I know all about the classics.
Yeah. I'm basically fluent in everything on VH1 and MTV, as mentioned. So if there was a special loosely describing something, you bet your ass I'm a pro about it. Even though I am, like, 13. And it is the early 2000s.
Okay, so Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club, package deal. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, since Pretty in Pink is fresh in my mind from this recent rewatch, oh boy, what a classic. Like, after I watched that, I had to look up what's a list of, like, all, like, no, like, quote-unquote teen movies, like, popular teen movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that one was definitely at the top of the list.
Yeah.
And, like I said, I was like, oh, I smelled it right away with all the tropes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, when it opens up, like, on a garbage truck crossing over the tracks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's the classic, wrong side of the tracks. Even though they look exactly the same, like, like, it's so, like, dated in that sense of, like, these kids are just getting angry at each other for, like, no reason.
Yeah.
Because we don't even see their parents, like, debate. They just, like, kind of do a quick, like, well, you know, I'm the prince of electrical companies because corporations are royalty in America. And you live with your dad who sleeps on the couch in a smaller house. Like, but I don't know. It's like, that's like, I'm like, okay. I don't know. I don't even know what to say to that. I'm just like, that's, yeah. But I think what really keeps it going and why it is so popular is because the actors are great. That's why, like, John Hughes reuses all of them all the time. They're, like, great actors, and they, like, you really feel, like, all the emotions.
Yeah.
Like, even though, like, if you step back and just look at the story, you're just like, what? But you're invested. Yeah. Like, the performance is good. And great, great pop synth music.
Oh, I love pop synth. I'm watching Pretty in Pink this month. I'm going to say this week, this month. I'm, I, yeah. it's t- like, You know, you got that list of movies you're ashamed to tell people you haven't seen, and that's definitely on that list
for me. Oh, nice. I do have one last thought about Pretty in Pink before I move on, I guess, to Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Is how I distinctly have this memory of, like, hating her prom dress, which is so, like, it's supposed to be really hip and cool, which now I'm rewatching it, like, I don't know, I haven't seen it in probably 15 years, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, that dress is way better than, like, the two she Frankenstein together, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, I was actually, oh, I'd actually wear that. So I guess that was kind of cool because, for me, it represented change.
Mm-hmm. Evolution, growth.
Yeah.
She's changed.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, why did I not like that when I was younger? That's... I obviously didn't understand style.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's usually the opposite where you're like, yeah.
So my style got worse. You'll have to look at the before dresses and her prom dress and, you know, let us know. Let us know if my style got better or worse based on that.
Okay, your next one is Breakfast Club, you said?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I got this around the same time because I was going through that, like, retro phase.
Yeah.
Just loved it because it was, like, a really cool ensemble. Mm-hmm. I've always been also a fan of films that take place in one day.
I love films that take place in one day.
Oh, great.
I guess because it's very similar to stage, too. I like, you know, being like, being an actor of the stage.
Yes.
I was born on the stage. I'm primarily of the stage. So, but I love watching a movie that I'm like, oh, you know what? They can make a play of that. Like, I love those kinds of movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that I think that's also where you can see the most creativity, you know, with writing and all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It does definitely have a way more theatrical element, so it's like there's a lot more thoughtfulness in the dialogue and like the character relationships that like is what gets you glued and like wanting to rewatch it because of those interpersonal like heavy moments between these like somewhat likable or at least like interesting characters.
Yeah. That movie's really amazing because it really was written in a way where anyone watching that movie can put themselves in those roles. There are parts that, like, you know, you can change race, you can change even gender. Like, the jock could easily be a girl. You know what I mean? Like,
You
know, like, you can change any of those. You can change their gender.
Yeah.
And it'll still work.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's, like, the real brilliance of that film.
Yeah. I wonder if or why or how or when they ever will reboot it.
Reboot it.
I hate to say that, but like, now that you said that, I'd love to see a modern day casting.
Yeah, that's
of that.
One that that would absolutely work.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's one that's like, that would be cool to bring that one back.
I wouldn't be poo pooing that reboot.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right.
We need more of that little John Hughes energy back in like our culture and film and stuff.
Yeah.
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 It's like sad we can't really think of like modern teen movies now. Like, you know, we can think of movies with teen stars, but they're not like teen films like in the last like 10 years.
Yeah.
Probably 20 years, honestly.
Yeah. None's coming to mind right now.
Yeah.
I'll put a pin in that.
I mean, we've got lots of great, amazing young talent, but I just can't think of the movies anymore as teen films.
Exactly.
Where have all the teen films gone?
Where have all the teen films gone?
Oh my goodness.
I can move on to my number two, Mean Girls.
Yes, Mean Girls is amazing.
Yo, I saw Mean Girls in theaters. And
me too.
I have a vivid memory of that because it was just so funny, just like laughing in a group of people.
Yeah.
Like, I also went in like not having any expectations.
Yeah.
But my friends were like, oh, let's go see this. And it was the time of our lives.
Yeah, Mean Girls was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the last like teen movie we had, honestly. Like that was like. That, I forgot what year. That was, like, 2006, 2001.
I wrote it down. 2004.
Whoa.
Yeah,
definitely in the middle of high school in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that movie, I just remember that movie affecting, like, just everybody was just so, like, blown away, affected by that movie. Everybody was crazy about it. Like, it was a huge, like, it just had, like, I don't know, like, I haven't...
It's a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, it still is in the zeitgeist.
Yes.
Oddly enough, because I think, yeah, it did touch so many people,
right,
like our age that are now like, you know, 20s, 30s, you know, 40s, whatever. And it's just like, it's in like how Shakespearean phrases have gotten to the normal lexicon.
That's
there
what
is
I was gonna
mean
say.
Girl phrases in
that's
like,
exactly what
normal
I was
speech.
I was gonna say there are things for Mean Girls that we say on an everyday basis now.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't even go here.
Like, like the smallest thing. If you say that, like,
and none for you,
anywhere,
Glen Coco, like none for
and none for you, Glen Coco.
It's man, that movie.
Yeah,
good old Tina Fey.
Oh my God, she struck gold. Shall I move on to my number one?
Yes.
Okay, and my number one teen film, Bring It On.
Yeah!
You know what? The first film, and only the first. But yes, 2000, Bring It On.
Yes. You know, you're getting a lot of movies that I was like, ooh, I feel like this should be on mine, but I'm not, like, and you have one year, so I love that.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. Like, mine are all different from yours, except no, they're all different, so that's fun.
Yay!
I love when that happens.
Yeah, variety!
Yeah. Bring It On is another one, like Mean Girls, where they had it, like, you know, that was the golden age of teen films.
Yes.
Right there. Yeah.
It really was, because that was, like... That came out shortly after, like, the American Pie, like, broke through and kind of, like, established the mass appeal for teen movies.
Definitely.
Like never before. But, yeah, Bring It On is, like, so I had it on VHS. I think it was my older sister who also wanted to see the movie, so she, like, got it for us somehow. So that is also how I was able to watch it so many times to the point, like, I... was rewatching it today.
Yeah.
But the streaming link I was watching, I guess, was like kind of some sort of censored and had like ads, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I could like just finish the line.
Yeah.
For all
yeah.
For everything that they cut. Like, I was like, modified my ass. Like, oh, that part. Like that's
so
how
good.
Deep it is in my brain. Like, forever.
I watched that movie a couple months ago again, and it's just so good.
Oh my God, and it's just, like, also, rewatching it as an adult, I was also, like, pleasantly surprised how it was, like, it didn't lean on all shitty jokes the entire time, like, a lot of teen films of that time are known for.
Yes.
It really was, like, this main character who not only is a woman, she is, like, trying to be the best leader, and she doesn't want to cheat, she doesn't want to, like, be mean, she wants everyone to get along, and, like... Even though she's dumb and, like, white privileged, she's still, like, is learning and, like, keep going. And, oh, it's just so warms my heart.
Yeah,
and then all the cheering.
I was
going
to say, last time I watched that movie, I was like, wow, this movie actually, it does a really good job of showing white privilege.
Yeah.
And showing it in a way that's, like, not just, like, digestible, but, like, interesting and realistic.
Yeah.
And the way that those characters are, like, normally I feel like when they wrote that film, they would have been like, oh, the white girl does her best to save the black people, and they love it. But that movie, like, those black girls hold, the way they hold them accountable in that movie.
So good.
You know, and Kirsten Dunst's character is just so... She is trying to do, like, you see the choices she makes, and, like, I mean, that also speaks to just the genius of Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Like, she's brilliant.
Yeah, you know, she's so adorably committed in that role.
And
you're just, like, along for the ride.
And I think the way that she acts that character is, like, I don't know, she, it's just, like, a really good, like, I'm like, that's a good ally. But it shows her fucking up first. You know what I mean? Like, I think that film is just, like, I was really pleasantly, like, pleasantly surprised by, like, the writing and the talent when I watched it again. Because I was like, man, this is, like, a good story.
Yeah, it really is. And I, like, ugh, it just warms my heart. And it's funny because Yeah, so we watched that a whole bunch growing up, and it was rated PG-13, and we watched that a lot, like, in elementary school, because we're badass, but every time we had friends come over, my mom was always, like, whisper to us, like, hey, don't watch Bring It On. I don't want another parent calling me about them dropping a spirit stick. Like, I don't know.
My house was the house where we all watched, like, the PG-13 and rated R movies.
Yeah, like, my same. Like, we, because my parents, I think, understood, like, we were going to be polite and we knew, like, what was appropriate, like, at, you know, whatever ages those were. Like, my parents were pretty cool about us watching, like, certain films, and I can see how my mom would approve of that one.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because even though there was some gross parts here and there, there weren't, like, anything that was too, like, unnecessarily horrendous.
I feel like real stuff that real high schoolers were doing.
It's, like, literally showing a high school woman, like, being, like, voicing her opinion against her shitty ex, or shitty boyfriend, and also, like, trying her best, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and hop into my top five, which, like I told you, are all different from yours, so this is super fun. And these are in no order. Okay, so my number, whatever, my first one is American Pie. I fucking love American Pie, and American Pie came out in 1999, and I am, so I saw it, like, pretty much right around when it came out, and how old are you? You're, like, 3 years younger than me?
I'm 247. Not a day older. Not a day. Just kidding. Haha. Did I mention I'm a comedian? Who laughs horribly at my own jokes. Someone has to. Anyway, I'm 30, so
okay,
American,
so
I seen American Pie a couple years after it came
out. Okay, yeah, I was trying to put it, because when this movie came out, this movie was fucking shocking.
Yes.
And I just remember,
rated,
like,
rated R.
Yes, and that was, they probably should have put, that probably should have been NC-17. Mm-hmm. I feel like the DVD was NC-17.
Yeah, yeah, or unrated. That was, like, the thing, like, in the early 2000s.
Exactly,
it's like, unrated cut. Director's cut. Uncut. Oh, yeah.
Like a hot dog on the cover to look like a date or some shit.
We see you, marketing.
So, like, before, you know, that you saw this movie, you are, you, from the trailer, gave some, but you didn't fucking know what the real shocking surprise this movie was gonna be. So, when you fucking heard it, that this dude fucks a pie, but he literally fucks a pie, you're like, oh my, even at, like, 99, even my 10, like, 11, 12-year-old brain was like, you know what, I'm gonna have to check that out. Like, what is that about? Like, it just was, like, this super, I mean, it's super, like, sexual, super, these movies are, like, and I love those teen movies.
Yeah.
But I think American Pie is, it's fucking corny now, but it's done well. Like, some of these movies are unwatchable. Some movies, like, that are, like, the teen genre that are, like, super vulgar, super gross, like, super pushed, like, kind of scary movies, kind of like that. But, like, a lot of them, they're just fucking dumb. So American Pie is saved by the cast as well, and it's saved by, like, actual good writing. And I love that movie. I don't know why I love American Pie so much. I think it's because I had a huge crust. Huge crush on Stifler. On
I had a love that guy.
And then when after this shit, right after this shit, what was it called? What was it? Dude Where's My Car came out, and so I was just like, had a huge thing for him. But American Pie is, like, fucking stupid as shit now, but I love it. And it, I think it also was the, it was a shift in teen movies, and it was, like, the defining, one of the defining teen movies of our generation, and it, like, it was, like, a new era. That's it. It's a new era of teen films, like, the super gross out, like, 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. And, like, not that this, well, I guess it kind of does, because this part, I can't remember if this part happened in the first American Pie or American Pie 2, but, like, anyway, the whole trilogy goes along with, like, internet culture in the way of, like, I mean, teens were always foul, disgusting creatures. Yeah. But I feel like because of the internet and, like, that form of mass communication, like, more grittier, raw topics, like, were being, like, at least talked about in that young age. Yeah. Now. Like, you know, it's just, like, stuff like that is just, like, was happening way more than ever before. Definitely. And because of that, it was just like, teens are, like, rated R. Actually, NC-17, if you really, like, talk to them.
Definitely.
They're kind of gross. Yeah. Like, so, let's be raw and show, like, gross teen shit.
And, you know, and, like, you had, like, peaks of that with some movies and shit. And, like, I mean, Animal House isn't a teen movie, but it's, like, a young movie. But, you know, you had, like, those movies, like, the 70s and 80s that were, like, very sexual. But this is, like... This was, like, in your face. Like,
yeah.
No, alluding to shit. This was just, like, fucking in your face, like, nude.
Yeah.
Fucking teen sexuality. This movie is still shocking. It still is, like, the scenes. Like, I mean, obviously, the fucking pie scene. But shit is so funny. And Eugene Levy in this movie is just... I feel like this movie could not have even been a thing without him.
Yes.
The
parents in this film, like, across the board, were casted so well as, like, because that's also another huge element of, like, coming of age stories, like, how the family members of said children or teens are, like, are reacting to them, like, going through these horrendous growing pains, and, like, they're just like, oh, no, all the time, because it's, what do you do?
Like, it's, like, that popular, like, the thing that they do is, like, that opening scene is always, like, a teen gets caught doing something. Like,
yes! always getting caught.
Yo, that kind of, so this movie perfectly brings me to my next movie, Not Another Teen Movie.
Yes.
Which was the first DVD that my family ever owned.
I love that.
Yeah. And you want to talk about shocking movies. And I watched, this came out in 2001, and I watched this movie again this year, and I'm like, yo, this movie's so fucking offensive, but it's so funny still.
Yeah.
And it's very smart. Not Another Teen Movie, if you guys haven't seen it, it's a parody of all teen movies of all time, you know, time periods and, like, eras up until then. So it has all the early 2000s, has the 90s stuff, it has the 80s references. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it even has those 50s references.
I won't waste our time listing this obnoxiously long list that Not Another Teen Movie homages, but it hits them all.
Yeah.
It hits them all, and it also hits, like, I think... Like, a lot of parody movies do, like, whatever was also, like, kind of popular to poke at.
Yeah.
Some of them aren't teen movies, but, oh, yeah. If you just want to be like, wait, what classic teen movies should I, like, watch? Go to the Wikipedia of Not Another Teen Movie, and then go to parodies, and it lists them all.
This movie will make you want to go watch those movies.
Yeah, you're like, wait. What's happening with this dad that always sleeps on the couch?
Yeah, and the dad that sleeps on the couch in this movie is, like, a PTSD nom vet. And, like, it's just, like, this movie is fucked up. It has just, like, and then they, like, even touch on, like, the race stuff. I really like that this movie touches on the race, though. Like, this movie has the token black character, and he calls out, like, a lot of, like, the fucking, like, treatment of black characters in it, and that's really funny.
Yes.
The fucking prom sequence where they do the musical number is just perfection. And the cast in this movie is incredible.
They just...
Fucking Chris Evans is in this movie.
Yeah.
That was why I was first in love with this movie, because when I first saw Chris Evans... Mm-hmm. It was, like, cinematic love at first sight.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was, like, he was just beautiful, and he still is beautiful, but...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is he play the character in Not Another Teen Movie that does homage to the Varsity Blues whipped cream bikini?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, he does, and that was a very significant scene.
You get a nice banana split situation.
That was a significant scene for teenage Sarah.
Yeah. When I was talking about, like, making my teen movie list, my partner, Nick, he brought this movie up immediately.
It's amazing.
And also, shortly after that, we talked about the banana split scene.
It's banana split.
So everyone's thinking about it all the time. So we needed to mention it.
Y'all, this movie is just one of the funniest movies on the planet. It's so good. Yeah. And, yeah, it's just... It makes fun of the genre so well, but it's just so good. You have to watch it. If you haven't seen this movie, you have to see it. And if you have seen this movie, you have to see it again now. It's just that good. My number three is Can't Hardly Wait.
So good.
I am obsessed with that movie. That movie is amazing. And Can't Hardly Wait is the movie. It's like takes place on graduation night, and there's like a party, and everybody's, you know, got to do like... the things they gotta do before they go away to college, and, you know, the guy telling the girl how he feels, somebody, people getting laid.
Last chance.
Yeah, the nerds getting, like, drunk and partying, and making, and then, I won't spoil anything. But this movie, like, me and my brothers loved this movie. Mm-hmm. This movie came out in 1998, so this is before, this is the oldest movie on my list, 1998. And it's just super funny, super, like, good music of the time period. It's just, like, a really good, like, snapshot of, like, the culture. And mm-hmm. it's, like, it's a really diverse, like, cast. And, like, there's a lot of really super famous people now in that movie, too. And it's just, like, a very touching movie also. It has everything you need. It's got the romance. It's got the comedy. And it's got, like, really heartwarming moments, and I love this movie.
I love how it's definitely one of those movies that will make you cringe, mm-hmm. as teen movies should, but it also really does fill up your heart.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like, long-term friendship situations, once again, without spoiling. but, yeah, you also get the whole, like... a last chance to maybe win over my crush of, like, 18 years or whatever.
We can all relate to that, too. We can all relate to the look to all these kids, like, that feeling. I think that feeling of, like, I gotta do it before it's too late, and, like, and then we all, it just touches
but not
like that.
Really also understanding that's what we have to do. Mm-hmm. Or it ends up being, like, like a mask for what really needs to be accomplished.
Yeah, and then just like it touches on like the nostalgia mm-hmm. of that time mm-hmm. and how you felt at the end of high school before you went off, and then just like performances like Seth Green in this movie as you know, we don't
and his goggles.
We don't use the term wigger anymore, but wigger was a the white guy trying to be black, which not another teen movie. Their version of that is, like, the kids who want to be Asian.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, shit, yeah.
Which is super funny.
Yeah.
But, like, this movie has... and then, like, Jennifer Love Hewitt, who's just, like, I love her. Like, when I go back and watch
Effortless.
Her now, like, yeah. And just so relatable mm-hmm. and gorgeous, but, like, you don't hate her for it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's like I should you can't be
this.
Mad at
yeah,
her.
Yeah, like, I should hate this girl, but she's just so nice.
She's chilling.
So fucking talented.
Yeah.
I was watching, what was it, Heartbreakers?
Oh, I love that movie! Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, man, I know she's still famous and she mm-hmm. still works, but, like, she should have been, like, one of the biggest stars. Like, she was, I mean, she was a huge star at that time, and she should, I wish that she had, like, been able to carry on a legit film career, because she just is so good.
We still have love for Jennifer Love Hewitt. Like, plain and simple, yeah. But yeah, I would have to say, before we move on to the next movie, like, Can't Hardly Wait, I feel like I honestly only saw it once, but I enjoyed it so much that it stuck with me, as you were saying.
Yeah.
And, because it was, like, playing on TV, and I just happened to turn it on right when it started, and I watched it throughout.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of that was... the Seth Green character being locked in the bathroom with his not friend at the time, but then you find out throughout that they used to be really good friends, but then they drifted apart post puberty.
That's probably the saddest storyline in there. I mean, like, the most, like, relatable.
It's so lovely. Yeah. And it's, like, even though that's the B plot of this movie, like, it's, like, the main plot of it is, average white dude gets hot chick somehow, some way. That B plot of those friends, like, really, like, feel the heart in it.
It truly has some of my favorite scenes ever, too. And, like, the scene where he's at the drive-in movie with Jenna Elfman, and she's in the angel costume because she's, like, a stripper, and that's an amazing just film scene. And, like, that's, like, a scene that students should do in class. Like, that's, like, a great scene. And just, like, the look of the film and, do you remember, like, Peter Facinelli? He plays the ex, like, the hot guy. He was, like, a big star back then. He was like,
oh, yeah, that's classic hot guy face. Twilight. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Peter Facinelli was, like, super hot at the time. He's in there. Fucking Melissa Joan Hart has, like, a small part. And then Sean Patrick Thomas, he's, like, he was in Save the Last Dance. And he's this character that's all about, like, the memories of my brother's they call me that character because I'm, like, very sentimental. So they always would make fun of me and compare me to that character. But Melissa Joan Hart plays this great character who wants everybody to sign her yearbook. And
uppity. Like.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Presley's in it. She's amazing. It's just got a really great cast. It's super good ensemble cast. And there's, like, a lot of people, like, hidden in there, too. Cameos and shit.
Yeah.
The kid from Hook is in it, and he's the best part of the movie.
Now you have to see it. Now you have the kid to who plays, see this
the
movie.
Kid who plays Jack and Hook is a nerd trying to get revenge in this movie and is so good. This movie's too good. All right, y'all. My number four is a tie. It was just too hard. They came out the same year. Both these films came out in 1999. It's She's All That and 10 Things I Hate About You.
Ooh.
And, I mean, those are two movies that I wore out my tapes out because I would go to sleep watching them, just watch them over and over. Because I go to sleep to TV. I have to watch TV to go to sleep. So when those movies came out and I had those tapes, I watched them both just back to back to back. Like, as soon as the movie ended, started over. And mainly, you know, Heath Ledger and fucking Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was my, like, number one at the time. And then, I mean, I feel like Heath Ledger just came out of nowhere, and, you know, he took a lot of us just, like, we were not ready for him. Like,
yeah, we don't deserve him still. Yeah. He is that amazing, or, like, rest his soul.
He is.
I love his work so much, but, yes, my love for him started with 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, now looking back, She's All That is not a great movie, but it is so fun to watch.
Yes.
And, like, the cast in that movie is fun, too. I mean, Freddie Prinze Jr. is just fucking beautiful. But Matthew Lillard in that movie playing, like, the...
I love Matthew Lillard.
He plays the guy that, like, Freddie Prinze Jr.'s girlfriend leaves him for. I mean, okay, the musical number when he dances to Give It To Me, Baby in the mansion, like, yo, that's... That movie doesn't deserve that scene. Usher as the DJ. Lil Kim is in that movie. You know, it's, I think that my main thing with that movie really was Freddie Prinze Jr., though. Like, because now when you talk about 10 Things I Hate About You, that was, like, a really great teen movie because it gave us a female character. That Julia Stiles character was a different, like, type of character.
Yeah.
And it was, like, for us girls who, you know, we weren't, like, I wasn't a fucking nerd, but I also wasn't, like, the really popular girl. So, like, I need something in between there. And, you know, that was, like, Julia Stiles. Characters like that, like the Daria character.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, yeah. I'm not putting up with your bullshit. Yeah. Don't waste your time. I'm over it. I can't wait to move far away to a liberal arts college.
I recently rewatched 10 Things I Hate About You, and I was coming down from shrooms. It was fucking great. It was really great.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that movie is, I mean, first of all, you know, you always just get, like, sad watching it because seeing, like, the great talent of Heath Ledger and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, oh my, he's in it and he's just fucking adorable. And, you know, to watch that movie and to also see, like, what he would become.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, to watch that movie and know that he would become a legit sex symbol is fun. Julia Stiles is amazing in that movie. She's fantastic in that movie. It's a great movie. It's a great teen movie. Like, it's like light and a little stupid, but not stupid enough where you can't, like, if you can't, and yeah. it's a Shakespeare, it's a Shakespeare thing.
Yes.
Taming of the Shrew.
So it's educational.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure we talked about it, like, briefly in one of my English classes in high school, like, hey, Shakespeare's hip. Why would they make a movie based off of a Shakespeare play if it wasn't hip?
Exactly.
Yeah. But it was hip.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And also, like, going back to, like, this is a trope in a lot of teen movies, mm-hmm. as we know, but, like, when he gets the band to perform the Four Seasons song in the football field and he sings, like, that is my favorite part.
It's
like,
so good.
I love that whole, like, musical romantic gesture, but also, like, once again, the first movie I said was Grease, so you know where my standards lie.
That was just a really good movie at the time, because, I mean, like, the silly plot stuff, like, you didn't care back then, and, you know, it had this super beautiful, hot, like, different kind of male lead, like, you know, at the time, and then this girl, this awesome girl who you, like, could completely relate with, and, like, she was also really pretty, and she has that fun dance scene in it, and it's just a good-ass time.
Yeah.
That movie's a good time. All right, my number one, it's not necessarily number one, but super bad.
Yes! Thank you.
I absolutely fucking love Superbad. That's, like, one of my favorite movies ever. I'm a pretty big Seth Rogen fan. Pretty, like, hardcore Seth Rogen lover. Mm-hmm. Hardcore Seth Rogen lover.
Hardcore.
And I love Michael Cera, and I love Jonah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this movie right here is just fucking perfection.
Mm-hmm.
We could take a look back at all movies now and be like, oh, there's, like, thing, you know, we could pick them apart. But if you look at Superbad for what it is at the time period, it's amazing. It's like me and my best friend's movie, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, it's just super fucking funny. And that's it. There ain't much to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just fucking hilarious. And sweet.
Yeah. At the end of the day, that movie, the backbone of Superbad is, once again, a friendship story. But it's such a high-risk friendship story. Because who, like, didn't have that boyfriend, girlfriend, or in this case, best friend that you're like, oh, shit. Next year, I'm gonna have to start over. Like, we're completely separate. Like, that is, like, Panic City.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously those two characters played it so well because they played it with such heart. Like, Jonah Hill's character, like, reacted in, like, an angsty, angry, I'll shout and yell, where, like, you got your Michael Cera puppy dog eyes of, like, just, like, genuine, like, poutiness, you know? And then on top of it was sprinkled with dick jokes galore.
Oh, it's just so funny.
Like,
And it's also, like, the birth of Jonah Hill's stardom.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Jonah Hill is an incredible actor.
Yeah.
And when you watch that movie and you see, when you watch Jonah Hill, like, doing his thing, and, like, as an actor watching him and seeing, like, him think, and, like, he's just, he's really incredible to watch.
Yeah.
And watching him in this film and, like, hearing about his, like, casting experience and stuff, he's just, like, he is just doing his damn thing in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's good in this movie, but he's on another level of what he does, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just, like, on 110% in every scene. It's flawless.
And the way him and Michael Cera work together is, like, Michael Cera just lets him do his thing, and, like, it naturally complements each other, and it's the fucking dick jokes, and, like, it's just so good. That movie is amazing.
Which I will admit, why I did kind of, like, bring up the dick jokes is I remember, like, around the time Superbad originally came out, I wasn't as deep, so I was like, oh, how, so many dick jokes, how, whatever, like, poo-poo, like, even though, like, I watched it, I enjoyed it, but I was still like, oh, whatever, it's just a bunch of dick jokes. I'm sure a lot of people still have that opinion, but it wasn't until when I rewatched it, like, a couple years ago, as an adult, I'm able to, like, suss it out to, like, that really, really heartfelt, like, coming of age story of, like, leaving friends and like, will our friendship continue? Because, like, obviously as an adult we have experienced that where, like, I haven't, I like, at the time it came out, I didn't experience that as harshly
yet.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah.
So I think that's also something great about rewatching all these teen movies.
Yeah.
You see it in a completely different perspective.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think Superbad was another one of those movies that had a big pop culture, like, impact. I mean, McLovin, like, that character, you know? And this is also a movie that, like, the quotes from this movie are part of my everyday life. I just have such a love for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part is because it's, like, a really, it's, like, a, from, like, the earlier years of when me and my best friend were becoming best friends, like, this movie is, like, always makes me think of that friendship.
Oh, that's so nice.
So some of my honorable mentions.
Nice.
I mean, obviously, guys, Clueless, like.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, Clueless, like, has to be on there, of course. Clueless is another one that I was like, I probably should put this on my list, but I think the only thing that saves me from having it on my list is that I was very young when Clueless came out. I mean, I loved it, but these other movies, I was like more, you know, I was a little older and grasped a little more. That was another huge movie pop culture history. Another one of those movies that was defining of the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Sure. It like, yeah, that's very like 90s forward when you like quick spin back to that era.
And even being like, you know, 10 and loving it, 10, 11, loving it that much. Like, I can't imagine being a teenager when this movie came out and, like, going to see this movie. Like, I bet that was, like being a 14-year-old when this movie came out, I bet that was, like,
so fun.
Yeah.
I bet it was, like, it was, like, probably what Mean Girls was
for
us.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, I really feel like it probably had that significance for audience members. And especially since it still is, like, talked about endlessly to this day.
Yes.
I, as well, didn't see Clueless when it came out, but I saw it, like, years later, you know, like, syndicated on TV or, like, here and there.
Yeah.
And I adored it. Yeah. I loved it. Yeah. It's, like, I loved that Valley Girl shit.
Yeah.
Like, any girly girl out of the 90s.
Aesthetically, Clueless changed the world.
Aesthetically, it was everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, the influence of that movie was... Mm-hmm. Huge. Yeah. I very specifically remember being, you know, a child and wanting that closet, wanting to wear clothes like that, wanting to, like, and then it was just really cool to have a black character in there too. Even though Stacey Dash is a goddamn fool, we don't really care about her no more. You know, at the time we loved her and it was really cool to have a black girl in there and really cool to have, like, Brittany Murphy, you know, very relatable. Yeah, and a little bit of everybody in there.
Yeah, they definitely, like, represented, like, a nice array of different types of students in, like, in a very surreal, like, Hollywood
and then when you
high school,
like,
life.
The guy characters are great in there, too. And
Oh, yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, like, I'm obviously not from out west, let alone L.A., but I will always and forever think of Clueless and assume that was... your life if you come to me and say, like, I went to high school in LA, I'm gonna be like, oh, okay, share. Like, where's your fuzzy pencil?
This is also a movie that the language and the quotes in it are part of like, whatever, as if, like, come on. I mean, whatever, that is how I can't speak. But like the, like you said about the the Shakespeare stuff, and then what other movie were we saying did that?
Oh, with the catchphrases?
Mean Girls. Yeah, Mean Girls.
Yeah.
This movie is the same way, where we started talking like this movie.
Yeah.
I remember having a book that had, like, the lingo and, like, the translations.
Oh my god, you had a Clueless dictionary?
Yeah. I was obsessed with this shit.
That sounds like a really cute gift for, like, any film lover. Like, that would be, like, just a cute coffee table. Like, the Clueless dictionary, just in case.
I hopped ahead of you with my honorable mentions. If you want to say
that's actually perfect because Clueless is also on my honorable mentions list. And I actually saw the TV show before I ever saw the movie.
I was gonna say that
I wanted
too.
To bring that up.
I love the TV show.
Yeah, which I just learned recently from listening to another podcast that Clueless, the idea of it, Amy Heckerling, the creator, originally wanted it to be a TV show.
Right.
So When it got to be a film, which was a great film,
yeah.
And because of the success of that, then it was able to be a TV show.
Yeah.
But yes, long story short, I personally came to it first by seeing the TV show. When I was reminded of some of those Clueless TV plots, it was like very, very after school special-y.
Yes, yes.
Which now I do appreciate, but like I don't know if like I picked up on like how heavy-handed the lessons were.
Yeah, now that's one I would love to go back and watch. I'd love to go back and watch the Clueless show.
Yeah,
yeah, they did have a different share, but
yes,
I still was very, I was very into the show.
Yeah, yeah, that's like how popular it was.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, you have to make like a shit ton of episodes really fast.
Yeah. TV's so funny.
We need teen content now. And then I also have 1999, Never Been Kissed.
Oh, man. Yeah, Never Been Kissed is so good.
Drew Barrymore, classic.
Yeah.
That's another one when I was, like, at first, like, going through my mental Rolodex of teen movies. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a teen movie. And then I, like, stopped myself. And
yeah.
I'm like, wait, no, she's technically a nerdy 20-something or, like, 30-something who goes undercover as a high schooler to write, like, risky expose pieces for her newspaper because newspaper jobs were still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
No. But, yeah, anyway, yeah, Drew Barrymore, timeless treasure.
Yeah.
This was one of the many Drew Barrymore movies that stuck with me forever, and
yeah.
I still like think of a lot of like the hilarious stuff that happens, and
mm-hmm. I still say I'm not Josie Grossi anymore on a very regular basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo, she's so good at the fucking, okay, I don't want to spoil anything, that final scene when she's like waiting.
Oh, yeah,
I feel that scene every time.
Mm-hmm.
And her, you know, she's
yeah, I definitely, like, I think it does lean more romantic comedy than teen film, but because, like, she is going through teenage life again,
yeah,
getting a second time around,
yeah,
and then also the second plot of her brother then also enrolling himself and being like, hey, no, you did it.
The brother shit is the fucking best. Oh my god.
That's
is it
just
David
another
Arquette?
What's
is
that?
David Arquette the brother in that movie? Am I
think
thinking
so.
About?
Yeah, let me check my Wikipedia. But yeah, it's like, I think that's also like a really sweet thing. It's like the message of that movie is like, can you, dramatic pause, rehash your coming of age?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, I also, well, at least that's what it was for the character Josie, the mm-hmm. main character. It's, like, because she had a very not popular
yeah.
high school experience,
yeah,
at least. So her going back was able to re-navigate that to
yeah.
the best of her ability. But her brother was, like, doing nothing in his late 20s, like working at the Tiki Hut, and yeah. he just wanted to go back to like just relive it and feel like
yeah.
the man again, and he immediately became popular right away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
it's just so interesting to kind of like think back to that, and yeah, definitely, even though it seems more painful at some points,
yeah,
I would definitely want to do the Josie route,
yeah,
and be a little bit more successful,
yeah,
and like figure it out later in life.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Yeah.
It's a fucking
yeah.
Peak in high school.
Yeah, 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 yes, that's what it is. It's like, who cares if you peaked in high school? That's what this movie's about. Oh, yeah. Okay, so my last honorable mention this evening. my last honorable mention film is, and I think you're really going to appreciate this one, Sarah, being from Texas and being a stoner.
I already know.
You already know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
1993, Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. And that movie also is yeah. based on I went to school in Huntsville, Texas, and that movie is based on Huntsville, Texas.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, yeah.
Did your high school have hazing?
College. It's based on the college I went to. I don't know if I
said
high school.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I went to Sam Houston State University in Huntsville, Texas, and that movie is based on that place. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You like how I immediately, like, quickly asked you about hazing? What's your trauma like? Because, like, in a weird way, that this movie makes hazing look so whimsical.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, oh, I hope, like, our high school does something like this. Like, but then you become, like, the cool young one who, like, hangs out with the older kids and, like, drinks beer and, you know, smokes weed for the first time and, like... gets driven home in the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah, I mean, I just fucking was in marching band in theater. Like, I would have much preferred to do some fucking weed in high school like these people
would do. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a good-ass movie, though.
Yeah.
I think Matthew McConaughey is just... he's the king of Texas, so, like, he's just good in everything. But he's just so good in this movie. Even though, of course, that character is, like, fucking awful now, but...
Oh, yeah.
Like...
Yeah, there's a lot
for
of
high school girls.
There's a lot of characters in a lot of these teen movies, but yeah, specifically that one that don't age well. But I think like
teen movies
in
don't
a way
age
they
well.
Kind of like they don't say that, but they kind of are saying that because the way he's carrying himself is just kind of a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's just me as like adult Steph being like, what a loser.
I think that he was in on the joke. Like, I think the movie was in on the joke.
Yeah.
But teen movies in general do not age well. They're all like, they're like super offensive. But so you just got kind of
so are teens. Yeah, teens are super offensive.
They're like a snapshot of the, the time period.
Yeah.
I think I've said snapshot like 3 times on this podcast. But...
I think you could say it more.
That's a great movie. I need to, it's been a while since I've watched it. I need to rewatch.
Yeah. Also, another movie set in one day.
Yeah.
And
oh, yes.
I love that.
I love it too.
From like sunrise to sunset.
Yeah.
Or like, no, it goes past sunset. They're definitely partying and drinking in that wooded area for quite some time. Oh, no, it goes sunrise to sunrise because then it ends on the football field. That's a really sweet moment. And that, I think that really, like, that really captures the tone and the organic feeling if you ever do stay up till sunset drinking with your high school friends.
Yeah.
As we all did because we're all super cool.
Yeah, I wish I did.
It's funny. Actually, I did that in college.
High school was so great for me.
Yeah.
It was super popular. I went on dates all the time.
All the time. Well, that also brings up another point, too. Just a general teen movie point. I feel like a lot of the shenanigans, like, all these teens and these films get into, like, I didn't dabble in or experience until like college or in my 20s. I was like so innocent.
Me
like,
too.
We both were
like,
innocent
I lost my virginity in my 20s. I didn't start drinking. I didn't smoke weed till I was 21. I didn't drink till college. I mean, I was drinking. I was drunk at 18. I was drinking. As soon as I got in college, I was drinking. But
yeah.
High school, I was an angel.
Yeah. I was definitely of the angel baby variety in high school.
I don't know if it was by choice for me, but I was one.
Yeah.
So. Like, if I had been around friends doing that, like, who's to say I wouldn't?
Yeah.
But I was with my good little theater and band friends.
Yeah. Like, I'm honestly trying to think of, like, what character in a famous teen movie I was most like in my high school experience, and none comes to mind because I was just not that exciting. I was not PG-13 or R-rated exciting.
In my own mind, I was super boy crazy.
Yeah.
Super boy crazy, but I was very shy and never talked to dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a whole nother episode. Okay, so my other one, did you want to say anything else about
no, those are all my honorable mentions.
My weird ass just had a thought right now. I was like, oh, why didn't I put Virgin Suicide on the list? I was like, that's the kind of mood I've been in lately. Virgin Suicides, but I don't
know. Another Kirsten Dunst classic.
That movie's amazing.
Yeah.
So I have Save the Last Dance.
Yes. Oh my god.
Was gonna be on my list, but then I was like, wait, Superbad is a teen movie that has to go in place.
Yeah.
Saved by the Sands is also one of the, like, first movies I went to see with my friend at the theaters without my mom. You know, like, on our own as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And when that shit came out, and then being mixed, I was, growing up, I was very into interracial love movies. You know, interracial
movies.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just, yeah.
Sure.
And that movie, now it's just kind of like, okay. But it's still a great movie, amazing soundtrack. A little, you know, silly at times, but they were touching on some, like, really deep issues in that movie and stuff, and they do a lot of the stuff with the race that they do is like interesting, but it's a great movie. It's a great movie, and it's just so like the emotions and like very angsty, and Julia Stiles is great in that movie.
Yeah, leaning way more on like the drama aspect of being a teenager than like the corny comedy.
Yeah, I mean, we had Single Mother. You know, dealing with lots of stuff. And I don't know if you knew this, but so Julia Stiles got this movie because of her dance scene in 10 Things I Hate About You. That's what, when they saw that, yeah. That's,
really?
Yes. Which now when you watch that, you're like, okay, it's like, but when they saw, that's like what got them thinking of her for this movie.
Yeah.
And that's why she got this movie.
Oh my God.
I forgot to talk about that dance scene when we were talking about 10 Things I Hate About You.
You're always auditioning.
Yeah.
That's what you take away from this. You're always auditioning. You're in one movie, that's absolutely not a dance film whatsoever. You do one hip shake and bada bing, bada boom, you are in the hottest dance movie the following year.
The hottest dance movie. We already talked about Grease. So if we're going in that direction of like, unconventional teen movies, I have Carrie on my list.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
In my research, I like saw Carrie and I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. I mean, absolutely. But Carrie is like one of my. I'm very passionate about the movie Carrie. That plant behind you is named Carrie.
Oh.
I'm sure you saw my. I don't know if you saw my Carrie film poster in my living room.
No, not yet. But I will put my peepers on it.
She watches over the house. But I love Carrie. It's one of my favorite films. So I am very positive I will be having multiple podcast episodes where Carrie will be on my like list.
Oh yeah,
it's like favorite movies, favorite horror, favorite. You know, it's
you can definitely put Carrie on almost any movie list.
Yeah.
I bet you can argue it. It is that well done of a movie that touches on everything, and it's just like oh. Yeah, fantastic. I know a lot of people do think of it as horror, but...
Yeah. It's a lot going on.
There's a lot going
Mainly
on.
Mainly because Sissy Spacek is just...
Great.
Out of this world. You know, she's... Yeah. There's, like, those actresses that... I mean, I told you earlier, Tilda Swinton called her an alien. Like, those alien... Those actresses that just, like... And Sissy Spacek in Carrie is an alien. Like, alien. Because she just fucking goes there, and she's, like... It's like she's not human.
Yeah.
You know, and she just is so in that fucking role, and she just gives herself to it, you know, and it's just, that movie's fucking nuts, but I feel like a lot of, like, you love that movie too, and like, we are able to watch that movie over and over and over.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, it's like not really.
Why would you ever watch that movie? And it's, but it is a weird familiarness. Like I saw it when I was young.
Me too. Middle school.
And then I loved it so much then that I dressed up as Carrie for Halloween in middle school, which once again, no one knew what was happening. Yeah. They were just like, oh, you're a wet prom queen, like what's going on? I'm like, no, I'm Carrie, but not in a British accent.
And this film also has a absolutely beautiful young John Travolta.
Oh, once again, let's talk about our Johnny T.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
Mean Girls was also another one. But yeah, so I think it's really cool how we have different ones as our main ones, but we, like the same. You know, we, like, they go together well.
There's a lot of crossover. It makes sense why we're friends in real life.
Yes,
by our matching movie lists.
Okay, so like, let's... What, to you, is, like, your perfect formula for, like, a good teen movie? Or, like, some, like, things in a teen movie that make them really good for you?
I think... What makes a good teen movie is having the main character or characters be confronted with, like, a legit coming-of-age problem.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, like, navigating through that one way or another. And ideally coming out on top, so it's feel good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do like when it ends well, but as we were mentioning, there's some sub-genres that kind of can be a little negotiable there. But I think, yeah, overall, it's like you want to, like, really feel the heart of that main character and, like, be reminded of, if you're our age, of, like, what it was like going through that growing pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like the feels in your
I like the feels. I really do. Yeah. Like, I want to, like, be taken back into being like, oh, my God, remember when I was overwhelmed like that and all that good stuff.
That's awesome. I like that. I like, you know, for me, it's like I can take a stupid, ridiculous, funny teen film, but I want some creativity. I want it to be good. Mm-hmm. So it can be super ridiculous, but if it's like done well or written well, like I'm there. I gotta have a hot, like, dude in my, like, I need, like, hot dudes in my teen movie. I need, like,
that's a rule for all my movies. Everyone needs to be super hot.
I need a super fucking hot male lead in there. and I need the cast members that are of color to have, like, actual substance to them. Like, I like when they don't throw, like, Bring It On does an amazing job of that. Mm-hmm. Like, that Gabrielle Union character in there is so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, preferably more than one. So I guess, like, a perfect teen movie, if I was making one, would have more than one, more than one fucking lead character of color. Hot dudes. super fucking funny. Like, I want to cry laughing.
Yeah.
And yes, I would also like to cry from it being touching too. I need to cry for two reasons in the movie. I need some tears, some happy tears and some sad tears.
All the tears. I guess those are two kinds of tears, sorry. Those two types of tears only.
Do you have anything else to say about teen movies?
Nothing much other than, like, I'm super glad you proposed this genre because it's I proposed this genre. She got down on one knee, opened a velvet box, and it was a ring pop that said, "Will you watch a lot of teen movies for my podcast?" That's the facts. I was really happy when you, like, put that one out there because it made me realize how much I adore this genre of movies, and I didn't realize it until, like, you know, I took time to do a retrospect of, like, the ones I loved growing up and the ones that I still love today still stand the test of time. And, yeah, it was just, like, a really beautiful trip down memory lane. Yeah. And in a weird way, if I ever have children, I can't wait to, like, show them a handful of these.
Yeah.
If also, once again, they still stick up 60 years from now. When I have children.
I'll let my kids watch Not Another Teen Movie when they turn 16.
Yeah.
That would be the forced coming of age ritual.
Yep.
But no, I just was like, oh, Steph, let's do something fun and light. And so this is fun and light, but also, like, really, I just like talking about film with you in general too, because, like, we like to laugh together, but then it's also like, oh fuck yeah, we are also, like, artists, and, like, you're such an artist.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, this girl has created all through quarantine. Like, she was never not creating, and I'm really excited to come out of quarantine because now we can create together again, and, like, we can all do our thing again. And I'm really, y'all, I haven't done an in-person podcast probably in the last, like, four I recorded. And so I'm really excited to be, like, in person again.
Yeah.
And this is just so fun. I just love hanging out with you. You just, like, you're just so light, you know, like, such a big. Oh, remember that day I ran into you? Y'all, I was writing, just brainstorming, writing the script things. And I wrote a page of a script. And then I went on a walk. And the script came to life. And Steph, it was like, it was a moment that came to life with Steph and it was a script page I had just written. And it was like a really weird, like, serendipitous moment. But it just, like, was awesome. When I saw you that day, it was just, like, so nice. And, like, you just, to me, you always represent, like, just, like, fun, happiness and light. And I just love creating with you.
Aw, thanks. You too, Sarah.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that we're going to have a lot more episodes to come. I know, like, nice. I'm going to get Shannon in here with you. Guys, Shannon was on my Stoner Films episode. And I know you and Nick are going to record together. Like, you guys will hear a lot from Stephanie. Wait, sorry, I'm so high. I was about to call you Stephanie.
Oh, how dare you? Call me by my full name.
So much from Stephanie. I've never called you that in my life.
And it's weird. It sounds like you're talking about a different person, but at the same time, I get it. It's technically my name.
You guys are going to hear a lot more from Steph, not just in my podcast, but just in life, because she's a beast of a fucking filmmaker. Hire her to edit, too. Do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, just check out me on the social media, Steph Schober. I think I'm the only one. Just like Tigger. Just like Tigger.
Somebody else has at Sarah Luke for their Instagram name and it pisses me off. I wish I was the only fucking one, so that's really cool for you.
Yeah, I mean, well, I do have to do the underscore for Instagram. Yeah, yeah. So there's a little bit of like navigation there, but not really.
any other, you're always creating something. Mm-hmm. So any other like projects or pages or even like your, any pages that they can go to see stuff you've already done?
Yeah, definitely. Check out my Rizzle account. That has a lot of my latest micro series, as I like to call them, a lot of 1 minute episode, 10 episode series.
Perfect for us to like digest, just, like on commutes or like just thing. Like, yeah.
And you know, great topics. One series is called 1 Minute Murder. So, of course, there's 1 minute about me talking about a famous murder. A lot of good shit like that.
Yeah. Y'all, this is just a woman who is constantly thinking of new things. She's just constantly like, just constantly creating, and your brain is just always like on. Like, I
don't know how to turn it off.
Yeah, it's very admirable.
I need a doctor.
it's very admirable to see you always working, but you are also like very like chill about it.
Yeah.
I think you're great.
Thanks. I think you're great too, Sarah. Thank you. I was so excited to be on this podcast. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. Tune in next time to Real Good.